mouth and going back in again and again, making her squirm and desperate to come. I lick her up and down, swirling my tongue around over her nub and getting drunk on her scent and taste. After a minute, I lose control, though, and I'm kissing and nibbling her everywhere. I curve my arm under her thigh and grip it for support as I feed off her, doing it as much for me as her. Her back arches off the bed when I flick her with my tongue, and she moans. I keep doing that until she's panting so fast I know she's ready to come apart. Palming one of her breasts, I keep my head buried between her legs until I feel her stomach start to shake, and then she sucks in a deep breath and freezes as the orgasm takes hold. She cries out, letting it go, and I tongue her, not stopping until she starts to calm. Jordan, I whisper against her skin. I don't know why I say her name, but I think I'm fucking afraid she's not really here and this is all a dream. Her fingers thread through my hair and I come up, hovering over her. Brushing the stray lock off her forehead, I stare down into her, taking in her flushed cheeks and bright eyes. Her little shirt that is ridden up exposing her beautiful breasts and pert nipples. I dip down, taking one in my mouth, sucking and dragging it out just like her clit. She whimpers, her hands coming back to wrap around the back of my neck. I switch to the other one, trailing one hand down her body and trying to take in as much of her as I can. I know everything we're doing is wrong, and I don't know how I'm going to explain this to anyone, but right here, right now, I don't want to be anywhere else. I wish I could die as happy as I am right now. In here, in the dead of night, in this dark room, behind a closed door, we don't need to explain anything to anyone. For just this moment, it's ours. I climb off the bed and stand up, unfastening my belt and opening my jeans. I reach into the bedside table and pull a condom out of the box, rising again and staring down at her. Her legs are closed, one knee slightly arched up, and her hands at her sides, fisting the comforter as she watches me. You sure about this? I ask her. She nods. I kick off my boots and slide the rest of my clothes off, standing up straight again. Opening the package, I look down at her, but her eyes have lowered to something else, her breathing growing shallow. I feel a smile tug at the corners of my mouth, wondering how many other adult words she knows. But I don't get a chance to ask. She sits up, swinging her legs over the edge of the bed, and goes for my cock, taking it into her mouth. I groan and gasp at the same time, her tongue wet and hot as she draws back and sucks in the tip. Jordan, please. I fist the back of her hair, gently trying to pull her away. That'll put me over the edge, and I want you to come again. Pushing her back on the bed, I come down on top of her, melting into her mouth and kissing her deep. I nestle between her legs, and she bends her knees up as she runs her nails down my back. Slipping my hand under her, I grip her ass and press our bodies together, the world spinning behind my closed eyes. Having her under me, skin on skin, my cock is so hard I can't take it. This is mine. Leaning back on my heels, I roll on the condom, never taking my eyes off her. I'm a little scared, she says, worry creasing her brow. I halt, trying not to squeeze the fist around my cock too hard. Scared? What if I make too much noise? She whispers, and I exhale, relieved she's not having second thoughts. I stroke my cock and come down on her again. Pull up your shirt, Jordan, I whisper back. I want to see your tits when I fuck you. Her breath shakes and an excited smile plays on her lips, but she lifts up her shirt for me and I dive down quickly and snatch up a nipple between my teeth again. She gasps and spreads her legs wide, and the tip of my cock finds the wet heat of her tight cunt like a fucking magnet. I come up, propping myself up on one arm and lean down, nibbling her lips. Try to be quiet, okay? I whisper, teasing her. Can't have Kramer finding out what I'm doing to his babysitter. She laughs, kissing me back. Yes, Mr. Lawson. Reaching down, I hold her eyes as I fit my tip at her entrance, And then I grab hold of her hip and thrust inside of her, immediately overcome with the feel of her and my body shaking. She arches her neck back and closes her eyes, moaning, and her breasts bounce with the movement. "Oh, fuck! Fuck!" she cries. "Pike!" "I know, baby. You feel so good." I thrust again and she clutches my waist to hang on as I slowly pick up the pace, sinking deeper inside her and mesmerized by her body underneath me. I dip down, sucking on her breast as she moans and whimpers. Coming back up, I kiss her mouth, and she does that thing where she licks my tongue, and I'm spiraling. "Jordan, fuck." I breathe out, thrusting faster and harder until the only thing I hear is our bodies coming together. Her moans fill the room, growing louder, and I kiss her, muffling the noise as she comes apart again, her pussy tightening around my cock as she orgasms. I look up and see us in the dresser mirror, turned on by the sight of her legs around me. She follows my gaze, mischief flashing in her eyes. She leans up, whispering in my ear, "I want to see." I wrap my arm around her waist and flip us over so she's on top. Her t-shirt falls below her breasts again and her hair tumbles around her in a beautiful disarray. I grab her hips just so I can feel her body move as she takes me on. She stares down into my eyes, her hips rolling, her stomach waving, and her ass jutting in and out as she rides me. Then she looks up, an instant curve to her lips, telling me she likes what she sees in the mirror. "You're so tight," I groan. She puts her hands on my chest and digs in, baring her teeth, and breathing hard as she fucks me faster. "Yes," she breathes out, her eyes falling closed. "Yeah, God, please." I grab her ass and arch up, taking a nipple in my mouth again, sucking and tugging and then moving to the next one in a frenzy. She leans into me, never slowing her pace, and I can feel the sweat gliding down the small of her back. I suck in air through my teeth, my muscles tensing, and I'm close. I flip her back over, hungry to be in control again, and her head falls at the side of the bed, too close to the bedside table. I grab the edge of it and whip it away, sending it toppling over, lamp and everything crashing to the floor. She whimpers and kisses me, caught up in the madness of the moment too. "Don't stop," she pants. "Don't stop. I'm gonna come again." I press my forehead to hers, both of us damn near hyperventilating as I thrust over and over again, trying to think of anything that won't make me come, but she feels too good and I'm too fucking lost. "Oh, Pike," she cries. "Right there, yeah." My muscles are burning, my head is spinning, but I don't break pace because if I fucking die right now, this is how I want to go out. "Ah," she moans, her body tensing and her breathing shaking. She falls silent and then she throws her head back and cries out, "Oh God." I kiss her hard, seeing her come again enough to send me over the edge. I thrust hard, squeezing my eyes shut and spilling, diving deep inside her again and again as the orgasm racks through my body and exhaustion and euphoria set in at the same time. White-hot heat streams from my thighs, and my cock pulses, and everything about her is heaven. Everything feels like it's the first time. I come down, resting my elbows on either side of her head, and smooth the hair away from her face. She gazes up at me, her face flushed and shiny with a light layer of sweat. "You didn't kiss her, did you?" she asks softly. I chuckle under my breath. "And that's what you're thinking about right now?" She twists her lips in embarrassment, but she presses anyway. "You didn't, right?" "No," I tell her. "And she wouldn't have spent the night. I was trying to forget about you and how much I wanted this, but it wouldn't have happened. You were right. I wanted you." I kiss her, surprised that even though I've come, I'm not done with her. I could stay here all night. "And that little shit from the block party?" I question her. "Nothing happened, right?" Her faint dimples grow deeper. "Jordan," I warn, furrowing my brow. She laughs. "No," she finally answers. He doesn't have your body. She gives my cheek a peck. Or your tattoos. She kisses my jaw. Or your mouth. She kisses my lips. And every word that comes out of it that gets under my skin and drives me crazy in all the best ways. I sink into her, kissing her long and hard. The fucking damage is already done. I'll feel guilty tomorrow. One thing, though, she says, pulling her mouth off mine to leave a trail of kisses across my cheek. I know you have work tomorrow and probably want to get to sleep, but I'm kind of hungry. Can we get some ice cream downstairs and then do it again before bed? I drop my head into her shoulder, shaking with laughter. Anything you want, baby. I roll my neck under the hot spray, every muscle in my body tight and sore. I don't really exercise, but I'm hardly ever sitting on my ass, so I thought I was in good shape. She shot that idea to shit last night, though. I can't help but indulge in the fantasy of having her here every day, as many times a day as I want, just for the sake of my muscular health, of course. But I know I can't. We did it again last night and then crashed, and as much as I want her even more this morning, now that I know what I've been missing, we can't let this become normal. It'll be painful enough when it ends. I shut off the water and step out of the shower, pulling my towel off the hook and drying my hair. The bathroom is dark because I wanted to delude myself that nighttime still wasn't over, but it's just after 5 in the morning and I have to be at work in an hour. When I see her again, it'll be in the bright light of day and I'll have to face how I did something so fucking shitty last night. I finish drying off and wrap the towel around my waist before walking to the sink and brushing my teeth and trying not to think about the hot young woman still asleep in my bed in the other room. I mean, how wrong is what we're doing? She's single, I'm single, we're both adults. Yeah, there's an age difference, but it's not unheard of. And I fucking liked her before I knew who she was. No one else was a factor in that. We're not trying to hurt anyone. Stepping back into the bedroom, I look over at her in the bed, asleep on her stomach, hugging one of my pillows under her head, and her hair fanned out behind her. She wears one of my t-shirts, and although I love her naked, I can't complain. I love her in my clothes, too. Walking over to her side of the bed, I pick up my watch off the bedside table, the one not toppled over on the other side, and fasten it to my wrist as I stare down at her. We've known each other less than a month, but I feel like she's always been there. Like, I was saving that side of the bed just for her. I don't know if I love her, but I've never wanted anything or anyone this bad. Her foot peeks out from the sheet, and I smile at her pink toes, so very Jordan. She moans and turns her head, and I raise my eyes, seeing her turn over in her sleep, resting her hand on the pillow next to her face. The sheet is down at her waist, and the shirt has ridden up, showing a sliver of her stomach. And I let instinct take over. It's still dark outside. The night doesn't have to be over yet. Peeling down the sheet, I see her hot pink panties, and I don't mind that she doesn't sleep naked. It means I get to undress her. Gently pulling down her underwear, I climb over her, putting one knee between her legs and sliding her shirt up with one of my hands. I touch her and kiss her softly, moving across her cheek to her ear and back toward her mouth. "Good morning," I whisper, nibbling at her. She moans again, arching to meet my lips, which are trailing down her body, tasting her stomach, her hips, and back up to her breasts. "Isn't it?" she says, joking. I chuckle. Reaching over to my nightstand, I dig out another condom and rip off my towel. "Just a quickie, okay?" I tease, to get me through the day. She moans again, stretching her arms above her head. "Okay." And I dive in. Several minutes later, we're both panting and sweaty again, and I need another shower, but I don't have time. Fuck, that was good. Is it me, or does she feel better in the morning? I look over at the clock. I gotta go. I don't want to, though. How awful would it be if the boss calls in sick so he can stay home and fuck his hot little live-in all day? Reluctantly, I climb off her and walk to my dresser, pulling out some jeans and a t-shirt. "Do you have work tonight?" I ask, She pulls the sheet back up over her and gazes at me sleepily. Maybe? I shake my head, always playing games.
Maybe I'll be home, she explains. Or maybe you'll have to find me.
I close the dresser drawer and open another, grabbing socks. I turn to her, fixing a stern look on my face. I'll be home at 5. Be here, I order her. And then I start to walk toward the door but turn and soften my voice, adding, please? She grins and turns on her side, hugging my pillow under her again and looking at me with the sweetest eyes.
Miss me?
I do already. I leave, closing the door behind me and closing her bedroom door too, just in case Cole comes home, sees her empty bed, and starts to wonder where she is. Jogging down the stairs, I feel an urge to smile even as the guilt knots my stomach. I almost feel normal. But luckier than any guy I know, the girl of my dreams is in my bed right now, and I get to come home to her too. She was right. I have everything I need under this roof. Except my son. This is his home, and he's not here, and Jordan makes me forget him. For 19 years, it was always him, sacrificing to build my business to be able to give him a good home, an education, and either being scared of relationships after what I went through with Lindsay, or losing relationships because other women didn't want to have to deal with the mother of my child for the rest of our lives. My life revolved around him, but no matter what I did, it all still went to shit. She twisted him up and used him against me, and he doesn't know whom to trust. Letting myself be happy with a woman isn't wrong, but that woman being Jordan is what could break whatever faith he has left in his parents. Why can't I stop? Why does my heart hurt so much every time she smiles, or chews on her thumbnail, or stands on her tiptoes to reach something in the kitchen, or fucking blinks, for Christ's sake? I walk into the kitchen and pour coffee into my travel mug. I fasten the lid and grab my lunch out of the fridge, throwing in some extra chips since I don't have time for breakfast. The doorbell suddenly rings, and I turn, scowling. Who's showing up this time of morning? Leaving everything on the counter, I walk to the front door and lean over, peering out the front window. And speak of the devil. My ex stands out there in nylon workout pants and a matching tank top. Her hair is up in a messy brown bun, but she has a full face of makeup on. She's the only person I know who gets made up to go to the gym. Of course, she probably only goes to meet guys. I pull open the door trying to be quiet so Jordan doesn't stir. What do you want? I say, holding open the door.
Well, you're nice, she sneers, keeping her arms crossed over her chest. Ever the asshole, huh?
And without waiting for an invitation, she walks in, pushing past my arm. If you're showing up at my door at 5 in the morning, it can't be good, I say, closing the door. Are you drunk? She walks into the kitchen, tosses her keys on my counter, and spins around facing me.
Why is my son living at some random girl's house and not with you?
I fight the urge to roll my eyes at her fake concern, which is just an excuse to be invasive. He's welcome to come home any time, I explain, heading for the stool and grabbing my t-shirt. He's the one who left.
Because you're allowing Jordan to stay, why?
I pull the garment over my head. If you want to know what's going on with Cole, ask Cole. As for who I rent out a room to, that's none of your business. I comb my fingers through my hair, having forgotten to style it. She's quiet for a moment, and I don't look at her as I pull my phone off the charger and stick it in my pocket. She steps up to my side and takes my chin, forcing me to face her. I jerk away. What?
You're flushed.
It's warm out, I retort. But underneath my skin, my blood warms and my heart pounds harder. I pick up my coffee, taking a sip to conceal my nervousness. The woman is a shark. She can smell blood across an ocean.
I know what you look like after you come, she charges.
So, question
is it the sweet piece of teen ass upstairs or someone new?
I slam my mug down, glaring at her. That's enough. God damn it. I forget how smart she is.
I haven't even left the house yet, and I can't even get what I'm feeling by the one person I've run into. Awesome. Heading over to the table, I sit down, pull on my socks and boots, and gather up everything I need for the day. Cole quit his job, she finally tells me. 3 days ago. I look up, stopping what I'm doing. 3 days? Let me give you a tip, she condescends. Parenting didn't stop when he turned 18, and you no longer had to pay child support. He still needs you. Forgive me if I don't take parenting lessons from a woman who got pregnant so she'd have a meal ticket for the rest of her life. I turn to her, pinning her with my stare. Maybe he quit so he wouldn't have to work for nothing since you guilt him into giving you half of his paychecks. She slaps me across the face, and my head jerks to the side. But I just laugh. Of course I'm worried. He's been out of work and hasn't been home, but I'm not taking a lecture from her. She used him, and I've had enough of her bullshit. That's the reason you don't let him come work for me, isn't it? I ask, not backing down. Because in exchange, I was going to pay his bills and give him a stipend to make sure you didn't get your hands on his whole damn salary. You only care about him when he comes bearing cash. I gather up my shit and walk for the door, yanking it open. You know who I'm really jealous of? All the men who got away before you trapped them with a kid. I'm not sorry I had Cole, but I am sorry it was with you. Get out. I'm proud I kept my voice down and was able to muster some control, but I'm seething inside. She comes into my house, accusing me of being a bad parent, and then hits me. She's not my wife and never has been. I have to put up with her, but not with everything. She stands there, looking almost amused, and finally walks up to me. Yes, she says, about to leave, but turns and taunts me over her shoulder. Because your house is the only area of your life you can get me out of. And then her eyes flash up my stairs and back to me, a sick smirk playing on her lips. She walks out, and I remain still. Everything I felt in my bedroom minutes ago, completely gone. Cole is spiraling, and he needs me now more than ever. And Lindsay knows about Jordan. She may not know anything for sure, but her suspicions will be enough. She'll tear Jordan apart. There's no way I'm putting her through that. I just wish I could have had her for more than 7 hours.
Chapter 19. Jordan. I press the stones onto the step with my pick and grab the glue, squeezing it into the crevice to fasten the pieces to the model. I feel an urge to glance at the clock on the microwave again, but I refrain, knowing it hasn't been more than 2 minutes since the last time I checked. It's after 6, and Pike is late. He's hardly ever late. As the minutes go by, though, I feel my temper rise, because he hasn't called either, and he specifically asked me to be home. This isn't like him, but it's damn well like every other guy I've known. I'm that girl they can treat like garbage and make wait, because I take it. For a while, anyway. The pizza I ordered, half pepperoni and half taco, was delivered an hour ago and is keeping warm in the oven, while my salad is in the fridge staying chilled. The Lost Boys, continuing our 80s horror movie marathon, is on TV ready to play, and I'm alone. Again. Okay, he could be in the middle of something, still at work. Understandable. And I'm an adult. I don't need my hand held. He could have also been in an accident, but that's extreme. And I don't want to be that girl who calls, either. He'll think I'm getting attached or something. I glue the glass balls onto the bed of what will soon be the stream, letting the minutes tick away his chances as I sit there, wait, and get angrier. The day has been so great. I woke up sore, but hardly even noticing, because the memories of last night had me blushing constantly. He was not out of practice at all, and I couldn't stop smiling as I cleaned up the broken lamp and fixed the nightstand again, and cleaned the remnants of the A&W cup out of the washing machine from when I dumped the ice cream float in it last night. Thank God he didn't find out about that, or he'd change his opinion on whether or not I'm an adult. After tidying up the house, I really didn't want to wash off his smell, but I desperately needed a shower. I cleaned myself up, and then I called Cam and borrowed her car to go get my paycheck at Grounders and run a few errands. I got sideways looks from my sister and Shell, both probably wondering why I'm practically fucking skipping around everywhere, but I didn't care. Because in a few hours, his eyes were going to be on me again, and I really love when his eyes are on me. Maybe we'd go swimming tonight or throw some pillows and blankets into the back of the truck and go make out somewhere. Or maybe I'd pick a fight, so he'd bend me over the kitchen table for another spanking. Stupid. Fantasies and expectations that never measure up in reality. I should know better. Here I am, sitting here waiting for whenever he happens to show up, ready to be at his beck and call. After a while, I pick up my phone again, checking to see if I have any messages. Still nothing. I looked at the time, and it's nearly 7 now. 2 hours late. He'd know I was expecting him. If he didn't call, then maybe something did happen. I dial him, about to feel either really pathetic if he's not sitting in the ER right now, or really bad about all my doubts if he is. The call goes to voicemail, though, and I hang up, hesitating only a moment before I get up and walk to the refrigerator, drawing my finger down Pike's list of contacts. I see Dutch's number and dial it, thinking of something to say that won't make me seem desperate. The line rings 3 times before he answers.
Hello?
Hey, Dutch, I say quickly, adding some pep to my voice. It's Jordan. Sorry to bother you. I know Pike doesn't always keep his phone on him and thought you would. I'm about to leave for work, and I lost my key to the house. I lick my dry lips, my heart hammering. Are you all about done at the site? I didn't know when Pike would be home and didn't want to just leave the door unlocked.
Oh, we closed up shop 2 hours ago, honey, he tells me. I'm home already, and he went with the guys for a beer at Poor Red's. I'm sure if you call him, he'll run home and lock up.
My throat constricts, and tears burn. He went out. I force a tight smile, hoping it disguises the anger inside. Yeah, will do. Thank you. I hang up and close my eyes, forcing myself to calm down. He went out, without even letting me know. He just left me sitting here. I blink away the burn, refusing to be hurt. I cared about him, and I fucked him. But I don't love him, and he clearly doesn't give a shit. He got what he wanted. All that possessiveness and a need to watch over me and protect me, it was just to keep me here, so he could get in my pants. He resisted me, because he felt bad, but he was simply biding time to talk himself into it. Taking me to bed was always the plan. Now that he's had his piece of ass, the monkey is off his back, and hey, maybe April is at Red's tonight too, and they can pick up where they left off. I growl, kicking a table chair. This doesn't happen to me. Not anymore. It ends now. I hold up my phone and dial Cam, remembering what tonight is.
Hey, what's up? She answers.
I curl my lips, feeling suddenly bold. I feel like I want to see my first wet t-shirt contest. She gasps and then squeals into the phone.
Yes!
Chapter 20. Pike. I pull into my driveway a little after 9 and look up at the house. She won't be asleep yet, and I'm in no better condition to deal with her than I was 4 hours ago when work ended. But I can't put it off anymore. We need to talk. I see a small light on in the kitchen, and I know it's probably the one over the stove, but the rest of the house is dark, and part of me hopes she actually is in bed because I don't want to do this. Jumping down out of my truck, I slam the door and walk to the house. Slipping the key into the deadbolt, I twist it and open the door, stepping into the dark living room. There's no light streaming in from anywhere, and I don't hear her music playing. I know my standing her up didn't go by unnoticed. She called a couple hours ago but didn't leave a message. She's undoubtedly angry. I take in a breath and instantly smell warm cheese and spicy meat. Pizza.
Walking into the kitchen, I pull open the oven and find the large box from Joe's and take it out, setting it on top of the stove. I flip the lid. Every piece still sits in the box untouched. My stomach knots, and I feel like shit. Of course, I knew she would have something for dinner. Heading back into the living room, I pick up the remote and turn on the TV, seeing the dark glass come to life and the cover of The Lost Boys, 1987, appear on the Netflix screen. She had everything ready for a night in. Trailing upstairs, I stop at her bedroom door, not seeing a light from inside streaming underneath. I knock twice and wait. When there's no answer, I twist the handle and open the door. Through the moonlight coming in through her window, I see her bed still made and an empty room. My pulse quickens. She doesn't have a working car yet. Where did she go? Did she have to work after all? I check my phone again for texts, but I don't see anything. Maybe her sister gave her a ride, but she would have told me if she had to work. Dialing Jordan, I jog down the stairs as the line rings and turn the television off again. When the line picks up, a blast of music hits my ears and I flinch, pulling it away just a hair. "Hey," she says, and I'm surprised she sounds so calm. "Where are you?"
"Out," she replies. "I'll be home later."
"Are you working?" She laughs, and I hear another woman's voice and a string of chatter in the background.
No,
she finally answers. Then I hear a bellow of what sounds like 40 men cheering in the background, and I straighten, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. "Jordan, I'm sorry I was late," I tell her.
"Huh?"
"I'm sorry I was late," I shout into the phone. "Work had to be done, and I had to stay."
"Then why didn't you call?"
she replies, her voice growing louder.
"You weren't at work. You were at Red's, and I don't wait. Not anymore. I'm out with friends, and I'm having fun. I'll be home later."
And then all the music in my ear and the DJ's voice in the background falls dead, and the line cuts off as she hangs up. Hangs up on me. I lower my phone and stare at the ended call. Okay, so she's mad. I think. She didn't sound mad, though. Or drunk. She just sounded indifferent. And for some reason, that feels worse. I can deal with anger, but not with a girl who sounds like she's perfectly content with whatever conclusion she's drawn. Shit. Then it occurs to me what the DJ in the background was announcing. Wet T-shirt night at the hook. My eyes widen. She wouldn't be that stupid, would she? God damn it. What the hell am I supposed to do? Is she out having some fun, like she said, or is she checkmating me? Is she trying to entice me to come and get her by threatening to do something I won't like? Or do I stay right where I am, call her bluff, and see what happens? This is why women and I don't get along and my relationships don't last. I don't have the head for this bullshit. But the fact that she went out at all is because of me. If I had come home when I told her I would, she'd be curled up next to me on the couch right now, taunting me with her eyes, her hands, her smell. And that sexy-ass way she arches her back when she stretches. I sigh and shake my head. I want her so badly. Sticking the phone in my pocket, I pull out my keys and head for the door. As soon as I open it, though, I see Cole standing there with his hand out like he was just about to open it. I halt, my eyebrows shooting up. "Hey," he says, his voice unusually pleasant. I open my mouth to speak, but it takes a minute to find my voice. "Hey," I stammer, a little shaken at seeing him suddenly. "I've been trying to get a hold of you all day. I was even out to a couple of your usual haunts during my lunch break. Where the hell have you been?"
"Yeah, I know. Sorry."
He walks in and heads for the kitchen.
"I had some things to tie up."
He goes for the fridge and pulls out a soda, then turns and leans against the sink as he pops the top. "So, what's going on with you?" I stand at the island. "Your mom shows up this morning saying you quit your job?" He flashes me an amused look like I'm overreacting. "If you keep me posted, I wouldn't nag," I burst out but try to make it sound like banter. He glances behind him out the window, seeing something, and pushes off the counter, heading through the laundry room and into the backyard. I follow him. "I'm fine," he calls over his shoulder. I actually have a new job. That's why I quit. He walks over to the pool and starts pulling the tube for the vacuum up. I'd completely forgotten about it. It had been going since yesterday afternoon. A new job? I ask, taking his slack from behind him. Where? It's a surprise. I don't like surprises. Where's the job? He starts laughing, and I scowl. Why are you laughing? I demand. Does he know how worried everyone is about him, and now he acts like he's got everything together and we're supposed to not ask questions? Because I'm excited, he says. I'll tell you soon, I promise. Is it legal? I pull the tube, feeling the weight of the vacuum as it starts drifting across the pool toward us. His back shakes with another laugh. I quirk an eyebrow. I promise, this job is as legal as it gets, he tells me, a private joke in his words I don't understand. Got a steady paycheck coming, medical, dental, retirement, the whole works. He glances at me. I'm not on drugs, and I'm not in trouble. I'm absolutely fine. I'm sorry I haven't been around. I just didn't want it to be awkward for Jordan. I drop the tube, having reached nearly the end. So, you're fine then? I ask for clarification. Yeah. Will you come home? But he shrugs, looking unsure. It would be uncomfortable, I think. I want Jordan to stay here as long as she needs. I approach him. I'm still a couple inches taller than him, but I'm always surprised at how much bigger he seems every time I see him. I hesitate to say it because I don't want her to go anywhere, but I know Cole's place is here. I can find a different arrangement for her, I tell him. I can figure something out that would make sure they're both taken care of. He doesn't seem to need to think about it, though. No. He shakes his head, squaring his shoulders. It wouldn't be worth it. I'll have my own place soon anyway. Really? Now I am worried. This new job seems a little too good to be true. You're making me nervous again, I tell him. But he just starts chuckling again. And then he turns his attention back to the vacuum and I join him in hauling it up. Listen, he says. I wanted to get my first tat before this job starts. I was thinking we could get one together. Would you want to? He flashes me a nervous look, and I can tell it was hard for him to ask. Like, next weekend? A tattoo? The last one I got, he was 2, I think. It's not really what I'm into anymore, but I'd definitely do it for him. I'm just grateful he's even asking to do anything with me. Yeah, I nod. Sounds good. I even know what I want to get, too. The idea pops in my head so fast. Come on, he nudges, pulling on the vacuum. I'll help you with this, and then I'm going to go meet up with my friends, okay? Yeah. I pull on the last of the tube and the vacuum emerges, draining water. I have a little errand to run too, actually. I don't even think anyone under 21 is allowed in this place unless they're an employee, and Jordan better not be. I have a fleeting thought on the way over to call and report Mick Chan for letting a 19-year-old in his strip club, but it's not like I didn't take advantage of lenient bar owners when I was 19 either. Plus, it would just piss Jordan off more. I can hear her now. Oh, I'm old enough for you to go down on, but not old enough to have a drink? Well, yes, legally speaking. If she wants to get technical about it anyway. Sliding my keys into my pocket, I head across the parking lot and pull open the door to the hook. The music bounces off the walls and vibrates under my feet, and I inhale the familiar smell of the orchid-scented shampoo Mick always uses for the carpets. It smells like the flood of perfume you get walking into a high-end casino that's trying to cover up the odor of cigarettes. It's been a long time since I've been in here, but all of a sudden I'm 19 again. I pay the cover and walk in, stopping as I pass the bar and see the sea of people in the place. Young guys, older men, a few women and couples, purple lights under the white stage and streams of smoke drifting up into the air from the orange ends of cigarettes. Apprehension takes hold. I shouldn't have come here. I should leave before she sees me. She's an adult. She's taken good care of herself for a long time, and that little voice in my head is right. If I can take her to bed and keep her up half the night going at it, then she's old enough to make her own choices. She should be able to go with her friends. I want her to go out with her friends. I just don't want her here, because I know Mick wants her. She needs money, and I made her situation in my home feel shaky tonight. She's upset, and what if she starts thinking she needs to move out? What if she has a few drinks and decides she needs to make some extra money? I run my hand through my hair, feeling the gel I put in it, and remembering how I got cleaned up for her. I even changed my clothes. I glance down at the navy blue suit I bought last year for Cole's graduation, but I left off the tie tonight. Just a white shirt, open at the collar, and some black shoes. I don't know why I put it on, because I'm feeling fucking stupid now. But I think I just want her to know that I'm not an open book. I can be different. I can still surprise her. I back up to leave, praying she hasn't seen me, but the crowd in the club cheers and bellows, and my attention is drawn to the stage where a group of girls stand in a line. They're dressed in everything from jeans to skirts to thongs, looking nervous but giggling and playful. A couple women have already started the contest, and it seems the will to win $300 now calls for more extreme measures than back in my day. Two women are already wet, some older woman coming by and dumping pitchers of water all over them as they reach inside their drenched shirts and jiggle their breasts, and then turn around, straddling the floor as they shake their asses for the roaring crowd. More water gets dumped all over their backs, heads of wet hair fly, and they may as well be fucking naked. They practically are. Some of the guys have their camera phones out, and I'm pretty sure that's not allowed, but no one cares. These women are not amateurs, are they? Jordan can't do that shit. Can she? Just then a gang of women pull a young blonde on stage, and I see Jordan resisting them, laughing but shaking her head nervously. What the? I can't hear her, but I see her lips mouthing no over and over again as she digs in her heels and tries to pull her arms away from her sister. Someone from behind reaches in front of her and unzips her little white sweatshirt, and I launch forward. But then a pitcher of water is dumped all over her chest, and I halt, momentarily frozen. Her eyes go wide, her mouth falls open, and she looks like she's in shock from the undoubtedly cold water as she just stands there with her hands out in front of her and her sweatshirt now draping down her bare arms. The ends of her hair are wet, but her long, sexy layers wisp around her face and water streams down her stomach, making her skin glisten. Where did she get that lingerie top? It's cream-colored and lacy, thin straps over her shoulders, and damn near see-through. Her dark nipples are visible from here, as are the curves of her breasts as the wet fabric clings to her body. And my eyes burn as they drift around the room to every guy watching and catcalling her. She should be wearing that on my fucking bed, not on a goddamn stage. I ball my fists. She seems to break out of her shock because she suddenly hugs her arms to her body and darts off stage, leaving her sweatshirt behind. She launches down the steps and runs along the wall toward the hallway where the bathrooms are. Some girls at a table grab for her, calling her name, and she keeps going and turns her smile back at them and blushing to her friends. Or her sister's friends. Suddenly, she looks up and locks eyes with me, coming to a halt. The girls at the table see her stop and follow her gaze, glancing between the two of us. The two vertical dips in her stomach on both sides of her belly button glimmer, covered in drops of water, and the sight of her skin makes my cock fill with blood. She wore that. She purposely put it on, which means she was considering going up there. I raise my eyes from her body and stare at her, taking a step forward. Mine. She backs up a step. I move again. And so does she. It was an accident, she snaps, her eyebrows pinched in a scowl. She was just playing around. I don't need any crap about something that wasn't my fault. I rush up to her and wrap my arm around her waist, taking her face in my hand and pulling her mouth to mine. She whimpers, surprised, and I don't care who sees us at the moment. Without breaking the kiss, I walk her backward into the hallway and around the corner. She tears her mouth away. What are you doing? But God, I'm so hungry. I dive for her lips again, tasting her tongue and threading my hand through her soft hair. No. She pulls away from me. I drop my arms, my heart pounding and my fingers still buzzing with the feel of her skin. I'm not going to fight with you, I tell her, breathing hard, and I'm not going to ask you to come home. I just want to say I'm sorry. She lifts her chin, feigning ignorance. About? The pizza, the movie. Forgetting me? She adds. I approach her, trying to stay calm and keep my hands off her. I didn't forget you. I can't forget you. She's quiet, holding my eyes, and I'm not sure what's going on in her head, but I just needed to say it to her face. I don't want her acting out because she thinks I was being careless with her. Without another word, she twists around and heads down the hallway, pushing through the exit. Where are you going? I follow her. My sister has a change of clothes in her car, she answers, still sounding impatient with me. I'm fine, and I'll be home later, okay? She reaches Cam's white Mustang in the crowded parking lot and goes to the driver's side. Stop. I come up behind her, putting my hand on the door in front of her. Just let me explain. She twirls around, a sympathetic look on her face. Oh, I'm sure you have an excuse, a really good one. No worries. She turns back around and reaches for the handle, but I need her to listen, just for a second. Stop, please. I breathe hard, staring at the back of her head. Jordan, I swallow, just wanting her to turn around and look at me with her sweet smile and gentle eyes again. I drop my voice to barely a whisper. I can't lose him, I tell her. She stills, and all I can hear is her breathing. Did she have any regrets when she woke up this morning? She finally turns and looks up at me, nodding calmly. I know, she says softly. So you have to lose me. I get it. I don't want to hurt him either. She spins around again to open the door, but my head falls forward into her neck and my eyes close. She's like water slipping through my fingers and I'm dying here. I'm falling for you, I whisper. Slowly she turns around again, and I don't know if I should have told her that, but I raise my weary eyes, taking in her quiet expression. Her eyes look equally floored and something caught between desire and struggle to hold back. I knew you were out there somewhere, I tell her, quirking a sad smile. The girlfriends, women I dated, Cole's mother. I never wanted to marry anyone because they weren't what I was looking for. I had started to think I had my sights set too high and you didn't exist. I clasp the back of her neck and run my thumbs down her throat. Turns out my dream girl belongs to the one person it would kill me to hurt. Tears well in her eyes, and I bring her in, my lips meeting her forehead. I don't mean to scare you, I go on, but you kinda scare me, because I want you like I need air, and she nods, and complications, she finishes for me. Pulling back, she looks away, and neither one of us are sure what to do next. The problem is there to stay. I needed time to think tonight, I explain. I'm sorry I stood you up. And what did you figure out? She drops her eyes, pulling at my fucking heart. With all your thinking. I don't hesitate because I know I can't stop. That I can put off feeling guilty until tomorrow. I snatch her lips and kiss her hard, feeling her slowly melt into me and pressing her body to mine. Heat floods through me and I grow hard, moving my hands around her back, gripping her ass and lifting her leg by the back of the knee. I trail kisses over her cheek and down her neck, and she lets her head fall back, giving me free rein as I press her into the car and nibble her throat and collarbone. Pike, someone will see us, she pleads. But I'm so damn hungry for this. The strap of her top falls down her arm, and I pull the cup of her breast and dive down, taking a mouthful of her flesh, nipple and all in my mouth. She gasps. Pike? Oh, God. She moans as I kiss and suck on her, nibbling on the pebbled skin of her nipple. Jesus, we gotta get home, I groan, or I'm going to fuck you right here. Hey, Pike! Someone calls. I pop up. Jordan yelps, and I wrap my arms around her as she tucks herself into my chest, trying to hide her barely clothed body. Shit, I growl, and turn my head, seeing Ben Lovell in his police car, idling right next to us. How did we not hear him drive up? Ben, I say, breathing hard. What the hell? He's doing a lousy job of hiding his amusement as he answers. Just doing my rounds, man, he says. Is that Chip Hadley's girl you got there? None of your business, I shift, trying to make sure Jordan is out of his view, but he still tries to peer over at her. You okay, honey? He asks, still smiling. She hugs her arms to her body, covering her nakedness as she folds her smile between her teeth. Yes, sir. He chuckles to himself and shakes his head. Goddamn, he mumbles under his breath, shifting his car into drive and slowly moving on. I wait for him to leave the parking lot before I turn to Jordan. Don't worry, he'll keep quiet. Lovell isn't a gossip. She quickly pulls up the strap of her top and crosses her arms over her chest, looking around nervously. Come on. I take her hand, leading her to my truck. Let's go home and go for a swim. Naked? She taunts. I pull open her door for her, shaking my head. No, I reply. Wear the shells. I've been dying for the chance to peel that suit off you. She smiles and climbs in the seat, and I walk around the car, opening my door. She takes out her phone, probably texting her sister to let her know she's leaving, and I start the engine, kicking it into gear. Before we're even out of the parking lot, she crawls up next to me and starts nibbling on my neck. Speaking of suits, she says, sliding a hand inside my jacket and caressing my chest. I could get used to this look on you. Don't, I warn. It's only for special occasions. And I'm a special occasion? I think you know you are, I tease. I don't widen my comfort zone for just anyone. I flash her a smirk, not the least bit annoyed she's flipped my whole carefully constructed, boring world upside down. I'm doing things I wouldn't normally do just to please her, but she's also making me feel things I haven't felt in a long time. Some of them never. I actually found myself entertaining a list in my head today of all the things I want to do with her. Take her to baseball games and on road trips, and I actually sifted through fucking eBay today for 80s cassette tapes I thought I could surprise her with. Like I'll still be around for the holidays and her birthday next year for crying out loud. She makes me excited for everything to come, whatever that is. I turn to her, trying to keep one eye on the road, and kiss her at the same time, but I just end up laughing. Buckle up. You're gonna get me in trouble. She plops back on her ass and scoots over, pulling on her seatbelt. Oh, I say, glancing at her. And I know Mick wants to hire you. You're not working there. You got that? She rests her head back on the seat, staring out the windshield. Oh, are you laying down the law now? I don't like worrying. This gets settled now. I don't really think she's serious, but I like things carved in stone. She just shrugs. My sister makes good money. She's not hurting anyone, and I'm not letting anyone support me. She pauses and then continues. I guess I'll do what I have to do. I don't really need your permission, you know? I dig in my eyebrows, the irritation of this situation crawling up my back. But then I remember how hard she had to be pulled on stage tonight, obviously deciding that a wet t-shirt contest was not for her, no matter if she had gotten dressed for it or not. I let out a little snort, remembering the way she protested. I don't even know what I'm concerned about, I say, my voice thick with humor. You're a good girl. You don't have what it takes to work there. I'm not a girl. I press my lips together to stop smiling, but it's hard. I know, she's a woman. And if Dutch or that little prick Jay or any of the guys who work for me come in, I press. You gonna be able to wear a bikini behind the bar and serve them drinks? Or even worse, take off your clothes and dance for them? Let them use you to get off? Sit in their laps and rub up on them for $40? I can't help but laugh under my breath at the ridiculous notion. If she actually thinks about it and mentally puts herself in that situation, she'll know it's absurd. She turns her head toward me.
Are you laughing at me?
I'm saying I know you, I tell her, evening out my tone. You and I both know you don't have the guts any more than I would, so let's stop wasting time arguing about something that will never happen. She faces forward and turns silent, but I see her jaw tense as she stares out the windshield. Assuming I know her mind more than she does is probably condescending, but she's acting childish, keeping up this pretense. She has more common sense than that, and I don't like games. She knows she would never be able to deal with those customers, and she definitely can't strip and dance naked. She'd probably be so embarrassed to be stared at she'd break into tears. 7 minutes later, though, I pull into the driveway, and she hops out before I've even killed the engine. Jordan, I call, swinging my door open. What the hell? We're not fighting again, are we? But she glances over her shoulder as she walks toward the porch. I'm just gonna get in my swimsuit. I stand there, twirling the keyring on my finger. Okay. Awareness pricks on the back of my neck, and I turn my head, scanning the neighborhood for Cole's car or his mother's. Then I dart my gaze over the windows of nearby houses for peeled back curtains or movement. I'm sure there's talk on the block by now. People notice things, and Cole is rarely here, while his girlfriend and I are constantly together. It won't take long for people to come to their own conclusions. By the time I make it into the house, Jordan is nowhere to be seen. Trailing upstairs, I pass her closed bedroom door and head to my room to change into swim shorts. She's still in her room when I come out, and I head back downstairs to grab some water bottles and turn on the backyard lights. The pool lights up, and I turn on the radio affixed underneath the cabinet. Some chick sings about guys my age, already playing on the station Jordan has it tuned to. My phone beeps with an unfamiliar ring, and I walk over to the island and pick it up. Jordan? Why is she FaceTiming me? Answering, I see her appear on the screen, but she's looking down at me like her phone is propped up on something lower than her, like her desk. Her hair drapes around her, and I can't really see anything else other than the glow of the overhead light. What are you doing? I ask, carrying the phone into the living room, but she remains silent. I sit down on the couch, leaning my elbows on my knees and watching her. A small smile plays on her lips, and she moves her head left and then right, and I can tell she's toying with me. She stands up straight, and I lose sight of her face, but her beautiful body comes into view, and I see that she's wearing the shell bikini. My heart skips a beat, and I have to fight back a smile. Her breasts bulge outside of the little pink fabric, and the thin strings look so delicate on her tan skin. I want to ask her to turn around, but I'd rather just have her down here. The screen jostles, and I see she's repositioning the phone farther back, and when she comes into view again, I can see part of the desk, her body, and her face now. She leans into the desk, eyeing me with a flirty look, her arms pressing into her body, and coincidentally, her breasts, too. I quirk a smile. Yes, Jordan?
I'm not a kid,
she says, her smile suddenly disappearing. A feeling of trepidation courses through me, and I knew this was too good to be true. She's teasing me, and she's not coming down now. I sigh and lay back on the couch. Then stop acting like one, I reply. She stares down, pinning me with her defiant eyes.
I'm not a kid, she says again.
And I watch as she reaches one hand behind her neck and the other behind her back and pulls both strings, the pathetic little pieces of fabric falling off her body into the floor. I swallow a hard lump at the sight of her. I was going to do that, damn it. Her hard nipples stand out at me, and the skin on my palms buzz with the memory of her in my hands. My stomach flips, and my cock is swelling with need already. Please don't do this to me. But I can't look away. I can't hear the music in her room, or maybe she's hearing mine in the kitchen, but she starts swaying a little bit and rocking her hips, closing her eyes and running her hands up, down, and all over her body, face, and hair. She looks like dessert. Biting her bottom lip, she plays with me, caressing her tits and slipping her hands down her stomach and playing with the hem of her bottoms, threatening to pull them down. She taunts me with her eyes and the promise of seeing